I'm David Halpin, a retired orthopedic and trauma surgeon. I noted in your broadcast of last week a report of an investigation into the crater and surrounding material where they had assassinated Nasrallah, the head then of Hezbollah in the Lebanon. And you also mentioned with Dr. Busby and his comments, and I know a great deal about, well, I think I know quite a lot about the neutron weapon, and I have alleged on very good evidence that a neutron weapon was used in Iraq on about the 10th day of the Bush and Blair shock and awe, i.e. on a genocide, or not a genocide, but on a series of massive war crimes in Iraq in March 2003. Ali Abbas was an Iraqi lad living with his parents in a village called Zawaniya, which was between the Rashid Air Base, which had become the base for the Republican Army, defending Saddam especially, and Baghdad Airport. There was the British and American forces were advancing on Baghdad Airport, which was to be the aerial bridgehead for their continuing invasion of a sovereign country against all international law. Ali Abbas, at around midnight, was awakened by a boom. In fact, he said two booms, I think, and then by the most intense pain in his arms and belly. The images which I think I was sent then show this lad, lovely, lovely boyish face, and his arms incinerated up to about 4 inches below his elbows. His trunk was also deeply burned. In fact, I knew later, to 1 inch deep. And the burns over his trunk, which in fact saved his genitalia and thighs and legs, tailed off around the flanks of his trunk. He was lying on his back. It is known that his mum and dad and eight relatives, in my link, which I'll tell you about shortly, I mentioned 10 relatives, it was actually eight, but they were incinerated too. It was obvious, in fact, looking at the images of Ali Abbas, which are linked about 18 times on my website, which is dhalpin.infoaction.org.uk, in a piece, if you search questions before charge, they relate to Blair. But those are the key words, questions before charge. Anyone listening to this who wishes to look at the posting, which was made about 2011, no, much earlier. I can't remember now. I'm not sure of the date. But the posting, they need to look at it very warily, because the images of Ali Abbas are shocking. Shocking. And on this crime alone, Blair needs to be in the dock. This charge alone. This crime alone. So this is Ali Abbas. He lost his arms. There was he was transferred to Kuwait, where they then removed an inch deep eschar, we call it, E-S-C-H-A-R, as surgeons. That was removed over his trunk, and they skin grafted eventually this large area of his trunk. His arms were amputated just below the elbow, just below the shoulder joints. It is very obvious, if you look at the images, that he was exposed in a rectangle, and I'm sure through the horizontally linear window of his fairly simple dwelling where he was living with his mum and dad. So I have assumed, and I think correctly, that this was a neutron weapon that was intense radiation. And what could have caused that without destroying the window, to be blunt about it, actually, was a neutron weapon. This was a weapon invented by a man called Samuel Cohen, who regarded it as a more humane weapon. Humane is inverted commas. The reason why he said it was humane is it kills instantly. There's a vast flux of neutrons from this weapon, which do not destroy. There's not a big blast, so it doesn't, in fact, smash. It doesn't smash buildings. It can penetrate metal and concrete, and kill the humans being. So it kills cells, both animal and vegetable, but it does not destroy material. It has a very short blast radius, and it is highly likely that what is reported from the traitor by the three experts who are quoted in your report, it is very likely indeed that the neutron weapon was used. I've just been looking back. There's a massive amount of literature via Wikipedia, actually, on Cohen, on the weapon, on how it was cased, on the physics of it. But the key thing to read is the neutron weapon on Wikipedia. It's very complete. So it's a fusion weapon, where there's a vast flux of neutron weapons, which don't, in fact, radiate very far. The radiation is, in fact, limited. So this is why this psychopath, who was of a Jewish family, emigrated from London to America in about 1925, I think it was. He was working at Livermore Laboratories with the other psychopaths, designing weapons to kill, in some cases, thousands upon thousands of weapons. Now, I digress shortly. I've been posting a series on my website of the continuum of fascism from parts 1 to 21. The last posting was last week, and the subtitle is Dancing on Graves. That's Blair with Trump in Washington. And the second subheading is Dining with Devils. That is our King Charles III, having a sumptuous banquet in Windsor Castle with about 57 guests. A good many of them were Ashkenazim and wealthy. And King Charles is sitting to the left of Trump. And he's seen shaking hands with him. Our King, who is Commander-in-Chief, is shaking hands with an obvious war criminal. We don't need the ICJ or the ICC to tell us that Trump is a war criminal, like his predecessor, the decerebrate Joe Biden, who was ordering bombs, massive amount of bombs, to go to Israel for bombing the sisters and brothers I know so well in Gaza, where I've been 10 times and twice very bravely so accompanied me there. So I know the people there, and I took a ship there in February 2003 to show our common humanity, and taking with us 50 tons of wonderful food and some wool for weaving. That's in a film called Eyes Open Gaza. 20 minutes. Dense. It shows the genocide that was continuing then, that started formally and with all intention in 1948. Eyes Open Gaza. So the continuum of fascism, I've recorded it. I've addressed the Attorney General. I've addressed the war criminal Starmer. I am, in fact, addressing my last post, our King, who's Commander-in-Chief of our armed forces, like his predecessor, Queen Elizabeth, who died, as you know, in Balmoral and had an illegal death certificate signed by the local GP. We've talked about that on your show, on your broadcast, Tony. So King Charles is Commander-in-Chief, of forces that have been directly aiding, I am told, I can hardly believe it, they've been directly aiding the whole genocide. It's not a genocide in Gaza, it's a Holocaust. The Holocaust is the mass killing of humans by humans. And that's what's happened. And it's very important, in fact, to recall the preface in bold of my Continuum of Fascism, because it is absolutely critical. And not one person who's read my articles, my postings, has commented. There's a silence.
Well, look, you mentioned good old Tony Blair there. Yes. Things are happening with Mr. Blair.
He's
suddenly, rather than being in jail...
I can't hear, Tony, sorry.
Tony Blair.
Yes.
A billionaire.
Things are happening with him.
A billionaire board and one Palestinian. Details have been leaked of the planned Blair regime takeover of Gaza. So examples of board members in the plan include Egyptian billionaire Naguib Sarwis, American private equity billionaire Mark Rowan, but maybe one Palestinian will be on the board that Blair is going to control when he takes over Gaza.
We're talking about dancing on graves. There's already listed 65,000 people have been killed in Gaza. The man we've been supporting with his six children and his wife Mona, Mahmoud Aboud, PhD, Exeter, an English literature specialist. He's now in a tent. He's been driven to Deir al-Balah, south of Gaza City. I've been to all places in Gaza. I know it, like the back of my hand almost. And he's one of the remaining, I suppose, about 1.8 million people in Gaza. There are probably 100,000 corpses still to be found under the rubble. There are over 60,000 wounded, majority women and children. There are babies who've lost their arms. We are dealing with an Holocaust which has exceeded all previous Holocausts in its intensity. It's been viewed globally. We cannot omit the Armenian genocide. We cannot omit the Nazi attempted genocide of the Second World War, not entirely directed at Jews, as you know. But what has happened in Gaza is beyond all imagination of a sane mind. It's been happening without any obstruction. When they reacted on the 10th of October after what they call the massacre of their own civilians, the BBC continually lists, after saying, first of all, Hamas is a prescribed terrorist organization instead of an elected government, and that it runs Gaza very well. In fact, the 1,200 killed, a good deal of them were killed by the Israelis under the so-called Hannibal Directive. There was an attack helicopter at the scene. The particular incident which needs to be known about is a house in the kibbutz. I forget the name of the kibbutz, but the mother was there with her children, the Israelis, but they had in the house some of the Palestinian guerrilla fighters who were sheltering with the Israeli family. That house was shelled in some way, probably within the centers as well, was set on fire. So the inhabitants were killed by Israelis, including Israeli citizens.
All right, some David, of the, David, course, David, can you just tell us what you make of this idea of Tony Blair being the governor of Gaza?
It is ridiculous and revolting, illegal. I can't find any words to describe it. When he was the so-called peace envoy for USSR, for US, Britain, and I think France, I can't remember now the four, the quartet it was called, he was there for several years in luxury at the American Colony Hotel in so-called East Jerusalem. He visited Gaza once, and he only went as far as the UN headquarters in the north of the 25-mile-long strip, no doubt because they were concerned for his security, because any sensible Palestinian would have shot him, because he had conducted a war in 2003 for Israel by invading Iraq. He gave moral and our physical support to Bush in April of 2002, and that was critical in helping the Americans set a vast invasion force on Iraq in March 2003. So his time is as a war, as a peace envoy, inverted commas, quite extraordinary. That a man was appointed, he couldn't make it up, Tony. He couldn't make it up. So it's vile to talk about taking over Gaza for a new Riviera on the Mediterranean coast. It's a wasteland. It's contaminated greatly by all sorts of heavy metals and other poisons. The water is foul. I've written on that, a quart into a pint pot, if people, in fact, search that on my website. I've seen it all. We're dealing with elemental evil, and these people have to be brought to court. And I'm in my next posting, when Sue's coming back, she's been very ill in hospital with an obstruction, but I hope she's coming back today. But when I've got settled down again and I looked after Sue, my second posting will be about Blair.
Well, look, it'll be about in the meantime, we've had an attack in Manchester. It seems timed to coincide with the Israeli attack on 50 ships with about 500 parliamentarians and various other activists trying to take aid to Gaza.
Yes, I heard about that. Well, we were the people who are fresh to your posting. I think we discussed some things before, but to be quite frank, Tony, I'm privileged to have seen where I should exert myself. And after autumn 2002, I directed myself at the hinge of humanity, which is Palestine. These noble, intelligent, strong people have resisted a steady genocide starting in 1948, as described by Ilan Pappe, a friend who's had lunch here with other friends here back in 2011, who's written a book, The Ethnic Cleansing of Palestine. He describes the absolute barbarity of their so-called war in 1948 and what their intentions were. And I've seen it firsthand in Israel. I've been there also. When I've been to Gaza, I usually go to Israel as well, but I usually go straight from Lod Airport, as I prefer to call it, now named Ben-Gurion, down to Erez, where you can go into the shattered strip. Now a graveyard. And here is Blair, Anthony Charles Linton Blair, King's Counselor, Sir Anthony Charles Linton Blair, flew, no doubt, in his private jet, these either owns or hires, charters, to Washington, to combine with another war criminal, another paramount psychopath and war criminal, in this case Donald Trump, who I understand has been convicted 32 times of various felonies. He's been bankrupted 5 times and bailed out by his Ashkenazim friends. So Blair goes to negotiate a land deal on a graveyard. Well, incidentally, there is a Commonwealth war memorial graveyard of almost 4,000 victims throughout the Commonwealth, Indians, mostly English, from the First World War. I've been there. It was exquisitely beautiful, managed by Palestinian gardeners. I don't know what's happened to that. But if people want to read about that, I wrote that in October 2003, having come back from Gaza for the second time with my journalist friend Neil Young. And I wrote that with great passion. It's a very lovely piece, actually. It's quite poetic. But it describes the men that were lying there who'd given their lives for king and country. In fact, for the first strokes, well planned, to take over the Middle East. My website, I have two websites. The first one is for Palestine. That's been updated. And I write in that less often. But there are some very important articles in it. That's doveanddolphin.org, I think we'll find it. That comes out of the voyage of the Dove and the Dolphin from Holden Quay in Torquay on the 1st of February 2003 to show our common humanity with the people being crushed. My definition of fascism being the fascist is one who delights in crushing the subhuman, who delights in crushing the life out of humans, as in Gaza. That's the definition now. So that's the dubendolphin.org out of the voyage, which is recorded in that film I've referred to, Eyes Open Gaza. My website, which is vast, really, started in 2003 by my wonderful friend Bill Stevens, is D. Halpin, D-H-A-L-P-I-N dot InfoAction, InfoAction dot org dot UK. It's a first-class search engine. You'll be able to get the things I've referred to easily. And do look at the fascism series, because the preface is important. And I repeat it now if I have time, Tony. It is Hiroshima, August the 5th, 1945. The London Agreement, August the 6th, 1945. Present in London, the centre of most of the planning and the evil that flows through our most wonderful world, were Britain, the US, the USSR, and France. They were considering how to set up the Nuremberg trial of the Nazi war criminals, and later the doctors, several of whom they hung, the ones who had been experimenting on the slave camp victims, prisoners. That was on the 6th of August. They knew about Hiroshima the day before. Don't tell me they didn't. And I suspect most of them knew that Nagasaki was to follow. So a Holocaust on the 5th, and a Holocaust of massive proportions as well on the 9th. So in other words, the message was business as usual. And it's been business as usual since 1945. America's bombed over 30 countries, read Pilger. We've been assisting them most of the time. MI6 assisted them in the killing of, I think, 3 million in Cambodia, as far as I can recall from what Pilger said. So we're dealing with fascism, Western fascism mostly, but joined, of course, sometimes by Russian fascism. And I note that it was within 3 days of Israel declaring its state. It's a de facto state. It's never been recognized. It never observed UNGA 194, which was the return of the native people. Russia signed up or agreed in the UN or whatever it was then to that statement by the nascent Israel. So note that Russia was there right from the word go, and Putin treats Netanyahu, the ultimate psychopath and war criminal, with kid gloves. I end my interview with you, Tony, and I thank you very much for listening to David, because I've seen a lot of it, and I don't give up. I'm not giving up until I'm horizontal.
Okay, David Halpin, thanks very much for joining us.
Okay, bye-bye.